ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Watch out, bro!
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name's Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and compatriot in crime, John Romano. John, I just got off a plane a little earlier this morning from Phoenix, Arizona, where, once again, I brought the bad weather because, you know, you go to the desert, you figure it's beautiful there, it's hot, it's dry, it rained. And I know we're not supposed to talk about the weather, but I had to bring it up because this is, I went to California for the Ironman Expo, it rained.
Same thing.
I went to Phoenix, it rained, you know.
Wow. Well, it was the same here, whether you were gone or here, so it didn't matter.
It was pretty cold when I got off the plane, so.
Terrible.
But it was a successful weekend, I must say. The first annual, hopefully there'll be a second annual, IFBB Phoenix Pro Show run by Stryker Solomon out there was done in VIP first class fashion, I must say. Everyone was treated well. The venue was awesome. The hotel was great. I for a first show of the year, there was a lot of excitement. I think a lot of people were itching to see the season start again, and that's always good. It's the same energy that usually was around the Ironman show every year, but obviously Ironman didn't have a bodybuilding show, and it just transferred over to Phoenix.
I think that excitement was also shared by the online community, judging by how much traffic we got over the weekend. It was absolutely insane. I couldn't believe just the amount of traffic our site got because, you know, I was home manning the boards not in Phoenix. But I was shocked. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot to be said for these bodybuilding shows and how we cover them and the people's general interest in them. Bodybuilding is as popular, more popular than ever before.
To get 60,000 plus views on a thread that occurred over a one-day show.
Right.
With like something over like almost 1,500 replies. That means people posting on the thread.
Over 2,000.
2,000. It is almost unfathomable because it just goes to show that, you know, obviously RX Muscle has become the destination place for contest coverage and analysis. And, you know, that's what we really set out to do a year ago, which was only just maybe a little more than a year ago today. And we accomplished our goal. And I'm really happy that the fans are rallying behind the fact that we are giving 100% of what we're doing when we go there. We're passionate about what we do. We tell the truth, and we have the best coverage as far as photos and video go.
That's right. We do. And it's pretty evident that the rest of the community thinks that we do too, because it's a great feeling, Dave, because, you know, we put a lot of work into this. You're all over the country, you know, on a plane every single weekend, and everybody pulls their weight. We had a great crew, a great team of guys working for us, and I'm happy to see that effort is really, you know, not only that it shows, but it's accepted and appreciated by the community because of the incredible support that we get from them.
And I got to really thank Dan Ray. Did a phenomenal job with the stage photos. You know, a lot of competitors come up to me now and say that by far Dan Ray's photos are probably the best stage shots of anyone out there, and that whenever they download pictures to use for 8x10s and put it on their site, they always grab Dan's pictures. So Dan did a phenomenal job. We also had Ralph DeHaan, who for many years, came out and was shooting some paparazzi backstage stuff for us, and then he did some photo shoots for us. So, and the photographer end of it, we kind of had the best out there.
Yeah.
And Nick the Stick was even though he went out and partied a little bit on Friday night before the show and was hungover on Saturday morning, he did a great job tagging. And Sean, as always, Big Sean Andros, obviously did a phenomenal job helping me out there, doing everything pretty much. And, you know, I want to thank, special thanks to Carl Lenore and Aaron Singerman, who had their the radio show that they were doing. They did a play-by-play. They posted all this stuff on RX Muscle, and they really contributed as well. So we really have a good group of guys that are really passionate about what they do. And you can't pay these guys enough money to ever even equate to what they've been doing and what they've been putting into this energy-wise.
You know, and even the guys that don't go, like, you know, Jeff, the producer, was home manning the boards along with me and, you know, posting pictures and comments. And I just like the way everybody pulls together and we gel, you know, and it's just, you know, it's a great feeling when it's like a finely oiled machine, so to speak, you know, that we have this kind of great synergy with everybody we have working with RX Muscle. And The bottom line is we do it because A, we love bodybuilding, and B, we are all bodybuilders, and really the community at large is the one that we, you know, our foremost, you know, thought is to give everybody out there the best possible place to go for the best coverage. And I'm glad to see that it's all working out that way.
Well, yeah, well, you took the words out of my mouth too, because I was just about to mention that you and Jeff were an integral part of this whole coverage, because, you know, to be when you're on those boards and, you know, and you see us chiming in on whatever's going on there, it's important to get pictures up so that people can support, so you can show the support for what we're talking about. And I don't know how Jeff does it. I gotta hand it to him, because he pulls those pictures up and puts them up faster than we can. We have them on our computer.
He's 3,000 miles away.
Yeah. Jeff's amazing. I don't know why everyone always gives Jeff the credit. I mean, obviously I'm the one doing the photo tag. I mean, if it wasn't for me putting photos up, Jeff wouldn't have another tag. By the way, you see that girl I grew up? She was wearing the red dress. It was unbelievable.
You know, Nick the Stick has this is his, you know, everyone has their own shtick.
Yeah.
He's got the G&G.
You should rename it. Call Make Nick the Stick.
It's the grope and grind.
The grope,
John.
And grind, yeah.
First you grope them, and then when they're mesmerized by the grope, you start grinding them. And
I want to name that face he gives in the pictures.
Jersey Shore Cuisine Tweedle.
the cuisine kiss.
Yeah. We ought to have, I think that should be the next guest on the Derek Anthony Show, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to name that face he does. I want everybody out there to look at all the photos of Nick the Stick, and you'll see he has the same pursed lip pose, cuisine kiss face on every photo, and I want the community to name that face.
Yeah, but you see, now he has that. Last year, he had this tongue sticking out crap,
right,
where they actually made the stick mobile after.
Right.
Now they have to make the Guido mobile, because he transferred up. Well, he has a nice, clean shaven look now.
No, he's got that half a beard.
Yeah, I know.
He's got the Mark Calvisi look now.
But with this.
But he's pursed lips. Yeah, he's getting very cocky though, because he was sitting next to me on the plane, you know, and all of a sudden I smell this like horrendous odor, and I said, "Did you fart?" And he's like, "Oh yeah," like you know how like when guys think they're cool, you know, and then you just fart
like,
at will.
Pull my finger.
I said, if you do that again, I said, I'm going to break your nose. I said.
Really? Can you?
You know, what is he? 18, 19 now? Is he 19
he's
18, yet?
So.
Is he still 18?
I'm 19. You know, fuck, I'm 19? 19. Oh, man.
What 18, 19 year old kid gets
got,
the opportunity?
You know, he's got like a fake license that says like 43, you know? Do you know your birthday if they quiz you on this?
He doesn't know the information.
Yeah.
But wait, the kid's living a dream. I mean, my God, he's hanging out with, you know, this great crew of guys. Yeah. We get him in everywhere, clubs, you know, VIP. He's got limousines. He's got everything going on.
Yeah.
You know, plane trips all over the country every weekend.
He's got the hot girls.
He gets to grope and grind in every city in the country, you know. And he has not gotten arrested, not gotten beaten up, nothing. He's just total protection.
Yeah, no, he's living the life of Riley. You and I didn't live that life.
No,
maybe you did.
I didn't. I suffered, man.
The next step is jail.
Yeah. and now he's got the cuisine kiss going on in every photo. Every single photo.
You know, the funny thing is, and he's getting cocky, like I said, you know, with the fart on the plane. Right. And then you know, and his new thing now is he's calling me Dave the Stick. Meanwhile, what he doesn't understand is that, like, the stick thing is like calling a big guy tiny. You
right.
know? So he thinks he's cocky because he, you know, because I lost some weight because we did this cleanse, you know, which is what I'm going to get to next, you know. But so he's trying to make fun of me now. Like, I'm like, Nick, I'm 42. I don't want to be big anymore.
We've been there, done that.
I want to live a few more years.
Well, my license is 41. I'm right there with you.
So couldn't you get a fake license that was a little closer?
Like 22, maybe, you know?
It was like, remember in the Breakfast Club, you know, Anthony Michael Hall or whatever. Is that his name? Yeah.
Yeah.
They asked him, what do you have fake ID for? Because he was like the geek and everything. He's like, so I can vote, you know? That's like Nick, you know?
I wanted to vote. I don't think Nick votes.
No, I don't know. I don't think he even knows what voting is.
I don't think he knows what a Republican is.
No, he you know, it's funny because we remember how I was asking him about Robert Redford and he didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the cable guy. We were making a reference to the cable guy. Yeah. I said, you know, I really want to take the Whack Pack, especially Mr. G. I want to take him to medieval times.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't Mr. G be great in medieval times?
He'd jump into the pit and then tackle the horse.
It would be like the cable guy. So Nick's like, oh, well, I don't know what you're talking about, you know. So I said, what do you mean you don't know? Oh, I said, and then whoever brought up the story, I said, Nick probably doesn't know who Jim Carrey is, I said, because he was around before Nick was born, you know.
Do you mean Cable Guy, the movie that Jim Carrey played, or the Cable Guy, the comedian?
No, the Cable Guy,
the comedian.
Movie.
No, the movie.
Oh, the movie. Remember they went to medieval times Cable Guy, and he was jousting with Matthew Broderick? That would be Mr. G.
He probably doesn't know who the other Cable Guy is either.
No, not at all.
Get her done.
Not at all.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
So anyway, so I have to just talk about the fast because we didn't talk about it on the other show. You know, I was talking to this girl and she told me that it would be a good idea to do this fast. And of course, my initial it wasn't really fast. Well, it's like a diet slash fast. And my initial response, as always, is
get Romano to do it.
I didn't even think of you. I was already dismissing it. I was like, I can't do that because I'm a bodybuilder.
Right.
I have to eat protein every day or I'm going to lose muscle.
Right.
She's like, no, it's good for you. You know, you'll clean your kidneys out and your colon. I said, well, I use Fiberlize. My colon's pretty clean. She's like, no, you won't believe it'll come out of you. And basically the fast is, or the 3 day, it's supposed to be 7 to 14 days. We did 3 because I figured that I have no body fat to burn, you know, to sustain me. So I figured 3 days would be enough. And basically it comprises of water, maple syrup, cayenne pepper and fresh squeezed lemon juice, which has obviously got no protein and no fat in it whatsoever. Right. And so
pure sugar.
And so I said, all right, you know what? I'm going to do this. And when I brought it up to you, you know, you always like a good challenge too. And the only reason I did it was because of the challenge to see if I can do it.
Right.
And I figured, well, you know, I don't like to dismiss things. Maybe it'll be good for me.
Your exact words were, want to do it with me?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to get some feedback in case I was feeling horrendous. Chicks, I wanted to make sure you were too.
Chicks go to the bathroom together. Guys clean their colons together.
That's true, yeah, but not at the same in the same room or anything like that. So this fast, everyone's been asking me the whole weekend about this fast because I got to say 80% of the people who came up to me, most of them women, liked the way I looked better, leaner.
Because you're smaller, yeah.
They said, oh, you look so good, you know. And then 20% didn't like it and told me to gain weight, like Sally Ann, you know, because Sally Ann's into big muscular guys. Right, yeah. Right. She's like, oh, I like you better bigger. And, you know, a couple of guys, probably the guys would, you know, prefer me bigger too, but...
Which doesn't really matter.
Which
guys and how would they prefer
right, exactly. I'd prefer the women's response personally.
You look so sexy when you're bigger.
So everyone's asking me now what the cleanse is because now they think that there's a secret we're holding out on them.
He does that a little too good.
Stop it, John. You love it.
It's just a little too good.
He sounds like...
you know,
I don't
want to
say it.
Too.
I don't want to say it. I don't want
to
say it.
He sounds like a guy who's got a burning desire to redecorate his living room.
Stop it. You're making me laugh. I'm blushing.
He's one of Derek Anthony's clients.
Oh, my God.
Break your fucking jaw.
VIP member.
Jeff's coughing. He's laughing so hard. I've never seen him lose his breath like that. So, of course, everyone's coming up to me over the weekend and they're saying, well, what, after they make fun of it first, then they want to know what I'm doing because maybe there's something that's to it, you know? So the way the whole thing works, it's the same thing 3 days in a row. You take a quart of water, you put two teaspoons of a non-iodized salt. I think you and I both use sea salt.
Yeah, yeah.
You mix it up, and you think 2 teaspoons is not going to be a lot, but when you drink that water, it is salty.
Yeah.
And to get a quart down, and you want to do it as fast as possible because it doesn't taste very good, it's tough. So what I would do is first thing in the morning when I was dying of thirst, I would just guzzle the quart down, and then you wait.
Right.
Okay, I don't know. How long did it take you before you noticed anything?
The first day,
yeah.
I was in the maple syrup aisle of
Path. Oh, you left the house? The You're not supposed to leave the house for like 2 hours.
I figured that out after I was gone. Yeah, it was...
did you make it to the bathroom in the supermarket?
I almost ran over an old man in the parking lot. He was walking way too
far. Oh, you tried to get home, you mean?
No, I was... I felt it coming on, and I said, I got to get the fuck out of here. And I hurried up, I paid, I jumped in the truck, and you know, I got that jacked up four-wheel drive truck for the winter. And this old man was just moseying on down the parking lot. You know, don't you hate when people, here's a pet peeve, when people walk in a parking lot and they're in the row, the where you drive, yeah, and they're walking in the middle of the fucking drive where you drive. They're walking in the middle of the lane.
The problem is they don't know where they are. They don't know
the
where
guy
they are.
Is, yeah, cause he was talking to himself. I can see his lips muttering. He's probably going over what he needs in the store.
It wasn't Mr. G, right?
No, okay. It was much older than Mr. G. And he's just, and I'm like, my colon is spasming, you know?
I don't know how you made it.
And I'm like, this is fucked up. And this old guy is just, you know, da-da-dee-dee-dee, walking down. And I go, you got to get out of the way. And I'm gunning the engine, you know, because I don't want to beep the horn.
Right. He didn't hear you, of course.
Finally, he looks at me. He gives me this dirty look. And I felt like, you know what, motherfucker? I'm going to get out of here and shit all over you. Just to prove a point that you never know why the guy behind you might be in a hurry.
So you made it from Pathmark back to your house?
Yeah.
I know. That's an amazing
it's
thing.
It's only like 2 miles.
I
went like 90 down Ocean, and it didn't stop at any of the stops.
Really?
Oh, my God.
I actually, I think I did shit myself actually one day, but it's like water. What happens is the salt water, it rinses. It acts like almost like a laxative, and it washes. They say what it is, you're washing your colon. Now, right. I don't know if you noticed, because you're a regular Fibrilize user, right. So am I. I didn't notice that much coming out of me. The first day, a little bit, but the second and third day, it was kind of clean. It was just mostly water coming out of me. And I think that's a testament to the fact that we use fiber twice a day is probably helpful.
Yeah.
Probably, from what I hear, other people who don't use a fiber supplement, like black shit comes out.
Really?
And all kinds of like crazy stuff.
I pretty much was what went in came out. There was pretty much nothing else there.
Once that you stop pooping from that stuff, then you have to start the next stage, which is what they call the lemonade mix, it actually tastes more like iced tea, I think.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it was. After for the first day.
Yeah, after that it got pretty boring.
It's like in a liter of water, you put about 3 ounces of like maple syrup. You got to use like the unrefined, grade C maple syrup. You add about a little tiny little pinch of cayenne pepper, and you put about 3 ounces of fresh squeezed lemon juice, which I found was the most challenging part of the whole thing. And you mix that together and shake it up. And you know what? Like you said, it actually does taste pretty good. So you're basically living on that mixture all day long. And they tell you to drink anywhere from like, I think, 6 to like 12 or 16 cups of that stuff a day.
Right.
I was getting about 2 liters of the stuff down. I think you said you got a little more.
A little more. Yeah, you know, I'm going to do this again because I did make 2 mistakes. I could not find the grade B maple syrup. So I used grade A, which is freaking $18 for a bottle of it. And it didn't last very long. So, you know, it was the maple syrup, and I didn't drink anything but that.
That's all you guys supposed to drink some water,
and I didn't drink any other water. So I am going to do it again, and I want to use the right maple syrup. Mm-hmm. I want to make a less concentrated mixture, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it was just too much sugar involved, and I want to make sure I drink more water during the course of the therapy.
Dave, what's the mixture supposed to do? Is it supposed to further clean you out, or is it just...
Well, I think the theory is by not having any fats or protein, you're giving your kidneys and liver a rest, so to speak, because it sugars, you know, and the maple syrup has, the reason why I use grade B maple syrup is there's a lot of minerals and vitamins and stuff like that in there. But the you don't really, it doesn't take very much to I guess break down pure sugar.
Yeah,
you just absorb it.
Isn't it glucose? Isn't maple syrup?
Yeah, it's pretty much glucose. It goes right into the bloodstream. That's why I actually trained for 3 days during this whole thing, and I was actually almost as strong. But by the third day when you and I trained, I was a little weaker. I think I was a little dehydrated, but I really didn't notice a strength decrease at all. And I got to tell you, you know, my skin really looked good.
Yeah.
My eyes, they say the whites of your eyes get really white.
Very clear.
I noticed that too. They got clearer. I felt good. I missed the act of actually chewing, though, I will tell you that. That I did miss a little bit, but now, it wasn't too bad.
Now, the cayenne pepper component, I don't really understand, because you're not really adding enough of it to elicit the sort of thermogenic effect that the capsaicin does.
Yeah, I don't think it's a thermogenic. I think it's more for like digestion. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're not digesting anything.
That's true. No.
One thing I noticed after the second day, and I'm a scant pinch was all I put in there. And what happens is it floats on the top. And
shake it up, yeah.
And I was shaking it up, and no matter what, it still ended up on the top. And actually, I was actually drinking some of it hot. I would drink it like team.
Oh, yeah.
And but when I drank it cold after the second day, my tongue was swelling up from the cayenne pepper.
Oh, yeah, it definitely burns a little bit.
And it was very uncomfortable because, you know, you're so, it was pretty, I wasn't really hungry, but I was definitely miserable. I spent every night dreaming about food. All three nights, I was like, I was at a shmore, I was at a buffet, I was at the Italian, so I was at, not Salpino's, you know, Ivorone Brothers at the thing over there, ordering, you know, eggplant and, you know, fresh mozzarella and prosciutto and stacking it on bread. And I'm eating this all in my sleep, and I'm thinking, well, no, I got to get up. I got to make sure I'm not eating.
Well, that's because you haven't contest dieted for a while. To me, it just reminded me of an old contest diet. It was only 3 days. And it's funny because I was at Carl Lenore invited us over to his house because he lives in Phoenix.
Right.
It was actually his sister's house for an authentic Italian meal, which was the first like non-healthy thing I've eaten probably in a while.
Right.
And he made, I know he said sorry to tell John, sorry he couldn't make it, but he made some eggplant parmesan and some chicken, what is it called? Chicken
piccata.
Piccata. And he made some other insane dishes. And I noticed Carl wasn't eating anything. And I said, Carl, how come you're not eating all this great food you made?
I got a preload, a little LSD.
No, he's fasting, he told
me.
Now, the irony of the whole thing was that he had made this, like, you know the hurricanes they sell in New Orleans where they, it's like...
vodka and lemon juice.
Yes, it's vodka and lemon juice, basically. Right. He was drinking those. I said, Carl, if you're fasting, how come you're drinking that vodka and lemon juice mixture? I'm trying to just be social. So I guess he wasn't on a full fast. I think I got him all juiced up when I was talking about this fast and everything.
When you're blitzed enough, you're not hungry, you know?
Yes, but I don't think that's going to help detoxify your liver very much if you're...
chemical constituent within the eggplant that is isolated further when you take the hurricane. You put it together, it's a fucking high.
Well, he told me that, you know, and he is right. He had talked about this lemonade diet like 2 years ago or something like that on the show. Did a whole special on it. And so,
a 2-hour special just on LSD. I mean, just on that. Yes.
You know, interestingly, Jimmy the Bull knew all about this.
Because his girlfriend does it. Yeah, his girlfriend does it.
I don't know about 7 days, bro. I mean,
you know what it is? A lot of people do this for weight loss. I have no body fat to lose, so right. For me, I think it would have been detrimental. I really felt good for 3 days, and like I said, I would do it again. I don't know. I think every 3 months they suggest you do it.
I definitely will do it again, but I think 3 days. I mean, I'm just going by.
If you don't do at least 3 days, I don't think you're getting enough.
Yeah,
giving your stuff, your body enough rest and getting enough detoxification.
But I think there's two components. One is you're giving your digestive system a break because as bodybuilders, we eat every 3 hours. Or our digestive system never stops. Right. So giving it a break has got to be beneficial. And secondly, the clean out process.
Right.
But I noticed after being taking Fibrolyze all this time, there was nothing after the second day. I mean, it was
nothing was
happening. So I think 3 days of that kind of cleanse is plenty.
I got to just tell you, I'm gonna make a statement here. I think it was a good thing to do. And if guys, especially guys in their later 30s, should consider doing it. But, something that I learned, at least experimentally now, is that I was right that you need to take a fiber supplement at least twice a day and something strong. I obviously personally recommend Fibrolyze because I make it because it has soluble and insoluble fiber in it. But there's other ones out there too. So if anyone takes home anything from what we just said, definitely use a daily fiber supplement. But we're going to go to a commercial break, John. When we come back, we're going to go more into detail on what happened in Phoenix.
All right.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of three creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy, it's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with four great GAT products. Pre-workout Jet Fuse and OX. For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights. Post-workout Jet Mass. After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover. Premium protein, Muscle Teen. Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended-release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training. Shred and burn under Jet Fuel Pyro. Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at TeamGAT.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit IsatoriTech.com or GNC to start fueling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes: Susie Curry, Adela Garcia, Jenny Lynn, Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X, Jen Gates as Shade, Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus, Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress, and their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind, limited-edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm John Romano, joined as always by my partner in crime, Dave Palumbo. Dave, now that our colons are completely clean and we're happy guys and back in the studio, I'm very curious about the heart attack grill. I know you went while you were out there in Phoenix, and I know everyone came back without a heart attack, so it couldn't have been that detrimental to your health. But I saw while you were gone, I went online and I looked up the heart attack grill, and I looked up that burger that they're famous for, and it was absolutely insane.
Well, we've talked about this before, the heart attack grill. We kind of get everyone juiced up right for the fact that we were going to go there. But I just want to say one thing before we get to that. John Kresmer and his girlfriend Leslie, who are people that I know and we talk to, they're on the boards. You know them, John. Yeah. They took me out to a great sushi dinner on Friday night, and we decided that was going to be healthy night. And then on Sunday, we went to the Heart Attack Grill. Now, the Heart Attack Grill has got this, you know, crazy, crazy reputation. The problem is they close at 3:30 on a Sunday. So we got there with like a minute to spare.
Wow.
And they just let us in the door, luckily. Because when we got in there, they turned away about 20 people. And when I talked to the owner later about it, he's like, "We have so much business, I don't even care." You know, that's how crazy
they were on that show, right? Man versus Food. Or
I don't know what was. I don't think so. I think I saw that. I found them on the internet someplace.
But I think they were also on that show.
I wouldn't be surprised. This place is. I did video there, so I'm not going to give away too much. Some of the slogans on the walls and in the bathroom are just absolutely hysterically classy. I interviewed the owner, this Dr. John, and he just basically said, "Look, you know, I was originally owned health clubs, and I was in the field, and I just know everyone has a cheat day, and if you're going to have a cheat day, you might as well do it the right way."
Wow.
You know, they don't. You couldn't get a Diet Coke in that place if you want. It's just regular soda. The fries are cooked in pork lard.
No.
Yes. And the buns are dipped in the pork lard too.
Oh my!
And
God.
The burgers are just like dripping with grease. And I got to tell you, after cleansing my colon for 3 days, there was no way I was going to put that into my body, because I said I would have had to done another cleanse when I got back. So I didn't eat. I videoed and interviewed, and I let Nick the Stick, who had a triple bypass burger, and Leslie, John's girlfriend, had a triple.
She did?
She didn't. She almost finished the whole thing. Nick actually finished his, because we were really putting a lot of peer pressure on him. And John Kresma polished off a quadruple bypass in record time, and you'll see that. And then they have this open fry bar. In other words, you can eat as many fries as you want. You just keep going up and filling up if you want. If you can eat anything after you're done. Now, probably the best part of the whole experience is that I told you the waitresses are all dressed as nurses,
right?
And then the people who cook have like the hospital scrubs on, and then the guys in charge are dressed like doctors with stethoscopes. They have this policy where they have a scale there. If you weigh over 350 pounds, you eat for free.
Now, whoa.
the rules are not really that you eat for free. The deal is you get as many single bypass burgers as you want for free. So, I mean, you can eat 10 of them, 12 of them if you want. I think the record is like 12 of them. You can't get the triples or the quadruple bypasses, which really don't matter anyway. It's the same burgers. And they let you eat as many fries as you want. You can have as many regular Cokes as you want.
Just because you weigh 350.
350 or over. There's regulars who come in there on a regular basis, and they just come in, they step on the scale, and they eat. And this is the stupid thing. I don't even know why they do this.
That is absolutely
disgusting. They weigh you after each time you order. Which, like, as if you're going to get lighter like that. I said, don't you think you're going to get heavier?
You know, what's funny is Leslie was kind enough to, you know, fill me in as to what was going on most of the weekend. She talked about, you know, you guys, you know, your arrival and the sushi dinner. She conspicuously left out this entire...
The triple bypass?
The fact that, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, oh, this is Leslie, you know, she's a competitor. She wants to either do bikini or a figure, and she's not undecided, and... eating sushi, and I'm thinking, yeah, this girl's got it going on. You know, she's got on the right track, hanging out with the right people, and she's got a supportive significant other who's, you know, helping her out, right. And blah, blah, blah. And then now I'm finding out she's eating triple bypass burgers.
Well, you know, they asked me, John and her asked me, you think Leslie can get away with one of these? She's got a photo shoot in 3 days. Now, this two-day Palumbo's thinking right now. One of them is the coach saying, she's got to stick to the diet,
right.
You know, but she's not doing it. And then the other one's saying, the other day, Palumbo is the entertainment guy saying, well, you know, she's not really doing a show yet and not till June. And it would be very entertaining to see if she could out-eat Nick the Stick. I'm like, yeah, she could probably get away with one day of eating triple bypass.
You know what's funny is she's an extremely beautiful woman. You know, very she's body and face.
She's your type. She's got the really big boobs, too.
She's got it all going on. She's a gorgeous woman. And you just don't picture women looking like that slugging down a triple grease burger with unlimited fries.
Well, you know, she actually used the Joel Goldberg method. She cut the thing into quarters, okay?
And ate it very daintily.
And she was trying to eat it daintily. And she, at one point, was ahead of Nick the Stick. And,
no.
And yes. And Nick was, like, sweating. I'm like, Nick, you're not even eating a quadruple. What, you know, this is you're a former fat kid. You should be able to get this thing down. And so after I said that, he ate down the whole thing. The trick is that you can't eat the buns in this place because the buns just drip. They're not baked with it. They're soaked
so lard.
Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was the place that was on Man vs. Food.
It might have been.
The burger was like this tall.
Yeah, it's really big. Yeah. And so I was interviewing some people, and I don't want to give it away, but there was one black guy there who weighed about, he was a definite 400 pounder. And
he was eating for free.
No, he wasn't. You know what? They trick you there. In other words, you have to ask them and say, hey, I want to get weighed in. And then, in other words, this guy just went and said, I want a quadruple bypass burger because he was from Minnesota. He couldn't wait to order. He didn't realize that he can eat for free. And because he ordered the quadruple, they wouldn't let him have it for free because you had to order a single. So, yeah, he kind of got screwed a little bit. And I riled up the management about that. You'll see that on the video. Yeah, it was pretty fun. So, yeah, we had a lot of good time in Phoenix other than the show. But I think the show is the most important thing. So let's get to that and let's break this thing down, John, because this was the first pro show of the year. Hopefully, according to Stryker Solomon, the promoter who did a phenomenal job and treated us very well, he's trying to run another pro show, from what I hear, in another couple months.
Yeah, so when he was on the show, he mentioned that.
Yeah, so we'll have to see if that's going to happen. But let's go over the results real quick and run it down. I did break it down already on the wrap-up video with Big Sean Andrews, but you know, I think some of the little behind-the-scenes type of things weren't said. Melvin Anthony wins another pro show. He really puts all the doubters to rest because, you know what? A lot of people, including us here, were counting Melvin out. Lonnie Tieper had an inside track that maybe he wasn't in shape.
Right.
And he really put the naysayers to rest. Were his glutes cross-traded like, you know, we'd like to see? No, but they did have lines in them, and you know, it was probably the best Melvin I've seen in a while. The controversy was that a lot of people believed that the third place finisher, Tony Freeman, was going to take the show.
Right.
Was Tony in shape? I'd say he was 90%. I think he came in a little too big. He was about 285, 287. He probably needed to be about 7 pounds lighter. Had he been that 7 pounds lighter, it would not even have been a contest. What was a little remiss to me was the fact that Melvin got straight ones. Okay. Right. And they worked these guys about five or six rounds. Uh-huh. Okay. I can't believe that every single judge thought that Melvin was the winner here.
Really?
Because when you asked people in the audience, you were getting Tony, Melvin.
It was the same way online.
Hide, who was second, right, who looked phenomenal. Easily, if you looked at the way he did at night in the daytime, might have won. So the fact that it was a unanimous first for Melvin, second for Hide, and third for Tony, just tells me that, I don't know, that was a little suspicious. Other than that, I didn't have a problem with the placing because I think Hide was in the best shape of the top three. Melvin had the best shape of the top three. And Tony was the biggest by far and should have been the winner, but he didn't bring the conditioning he needed to bring. And I know he was a little disappointed with the placing because in his mind, he was doing this show to help out these smaller shows and to give, I guess, celebrity name to them.
Mm-hmm. The thing with Tony is, and I love Tony, he's a great bodybuilder, he's a great guy. The thing with Tony is that Tony's got that kind of physique because he's so massive that even at 99%, he looks off. You know, Tony's got to be 100%. He's just got to be 100% because from the back, you know, he has issues, just like Melvin does. So, you know, Melvin...
Different problems, though, because Tony's got a lot of glute muscle back there. And from the side, even when he's not in shape, he's got, like, feathered glutes. Mm-hmm. Then he turns around, and then they're not feathered
anymore. And his upper hamstrings get soft, too. And Tony also does need to fill in his upper middle back. There's not a lot of depth and detail to his upper back. But, you know, having said that, Melvin is a phenomenal bodybuilder as well, but his issue always is those glutes from the back and the hamstrings. It's I hate to sound, you know, no homo there, but you know, it's just a fact of nature. And, you know, these are the genetic problems these guys have to deal with that confound them at every show. But for Melvin to pull it together the way he did, the rest of him looked absolutely phenomenal in the pictures because I wasn't there. But you know, Melvin is a different animal when he's got that last couple of percent done. And I had no problem giving the show to Melvin. I wouldn't say straight ones, you know, because I was watching Tony, and again in pictures, I was watching him actually get better as the prejudging as they were working him.
Some people said he got worse because he started sweating. I don't think that he got better or worse. He was the same. What I will say, and I was sitting right in the front row, obviously, Tony dwarfed everyone.
Yeah.
Melvin actually looked very small next to Tony, which is very hard to do because Melvin is not a small guy. And I thought the judges were going to go with Tony, actually, because he just looks so dominant, you know. And I don't like guys that don't peak their conditioning out. You know that I'm a stickler for that. So in the respect of who was the best conditioned, Hide actually was the best conditioned guy in that top three. Size-wise, you know, he Melvin made him look small.
Hide looked tiny.
So I think that, you know, you have to go with Melvin if you're gonna use an amalgam between shape and conditioning. Melvin wasn't his best, but was better than Tony conditioning-wise. Was bigger than Hide with better shape. I don't have a problem with Melvin. The person who called the top three absolutely perfectly was Dennis James, believe it or not.
Oh,
I was
really
talking to him after the prejudging, and he's like, who do you think? I said, well, I think they're going to give it to Tony, probably put Melvin second and Hide third. He goes, don't be surprised if it goes Melvin, Hide, Tony. And he was 100% right, so I know he's listening. So, Dennis, you called it right, and I take my hat off to you. These three guys are now qualified for the 2010 Olympia. I know that Tony will be competing next in 2 weeks at the Arnold. I talked to him in the parking lot after he did his photo shoot on Sunday, and I don't know if he'll listen to me. I said, Tony, you got to bring it down 5 to 7 pounds. If you do, you're real tough to beat in this lineup because, I mean, he is good. He's almost right. He claims he wasn't peaking for the show anyway, so I'm hoping that he's going to listen to that advice and go down. Hide doesn't need to do anything.
No.
Okay? Just needs to show up and get exactly like that. Obviously, he's going to have a lot more problems with guys like Kai Green and Dexter Jackson and Phil Heath and Branch Warren. I don't even know if he's going to make the top five. No, to tell you the truth, at the Arnold,
he's tiny. He's a small guy. Yeah, he's not a big guy. You know, the hair in the cake here happens to be, now that you've said, you know, Melvin getting straight ones. There was tremendous uproar on the boards all weekend about the judging. There was just, people were just incensed over a lot of the calls that were being made and a lot of the calls that weren't being made. Mm-hmm. You know, what did you think sitting there?
I didn't think that. I thought the judging was pretty good. They made a couple. They missed a couple here and there. I'm going to talk about it in a second. There was a couple guys who got a little overlooked. But other than that, I thought the calls weren't too bad. And like I said, I probably would have gone. I don't know. I might have gone with Tony, even though he wasn't in shape just because of his size. But I don't have a problem with Melvin. I thought Melvin did his homework, and you know what? I like to reward guys when they work hard, right. So I was fine with that. The guys, the probably the second three guys, the fourth, fifth, and sixth place people, and on down, might have been a little more controversial. I'll tell you why that was a little more. They worked the hell out of these top three guys. Yeah. They made a good decision with that. They didn't work the next three. They didn't do the middle call-outs like they normally do as much as they should have. I didn't see, like, Atoyan and Alves, who were fourth and fifth, didn't get compared against guys like Lionel Bieke, who came in sixth. Who people don't even know who this guy is. Wait till you go see the pictures of this guy. He's a talent. He puts 10 pounds on his physique, and this guy is going to be placing top five, maybe winning pro shows. Phenomenal talent. I think that he's going to be he's the dark horse of the show, without a doubt. You know, we were always saying there's always one guy that comes out of nowhere.
Right.
I would have liked to seen this guy in some more call-outs. Quincy Taylor, who was seventh, looked really good from all angles except from behind, where his glutes and hamstrings were a little softer. I talked a little with him about possibly, you know, what to do. He's got a problem because he's so tall that if he brings his body weight down too low to get those glutes and hamstrings shredded, he tends to get a little shriveled in his upper body. The answer to it might be to have put on more size, which is amazing because the guy's almost 300 pounds on stage right now. But the guys who did get overlooked were Mo Benute,
right,
okay,
for sure,
who took 10th. This is a guy who was the most shredded guy in the show. His glutes were ridiculous. He's got some structural issues. I would have liked to see Mo compared against guys like Atoyan and Alves a little more,
right,
which they never were. That top five group never got compared against anyone else. I think that was a mistake. Michael Liberatore, who made his pro debut, who we had on the show, obviously was placed 14th. Now, he probably was the second best conditioned guy in the show. I think that was the biggest injustice of the show. And I'm not just saying that because I work with him. Dennis James said it. Bob Ciccarillo said it. A lot of guys, even the guys like Melvin who are in the show, said it. You know, when they see a guy in that kind of condition, and he's got some good size,
yeah,
you know, even though he might need to bring his back and his chest up a little bit, I feel that to him not to make that top seven group, is it was a crime.
Definitely a crime. I totally agree. You know, and I mean, there were, excuse me, there was a lot of uproar over that, you know, especially on the boards. It was probably the number one most talked about issue was how reamed people felt Mike Liberatore got. And, you know, there was something interesting. There was a, I don't know if it was a road to or some kind of, you know, promo video done by, you know, the other guys leading up to the show on MD. And everybody that they covered, they hyped up. They were in contest shape. Mike Liberatore was the only one that they used out of shape, you know, off season. No, he was under contract with them for a year. They had good pictures of him. And then somebody took a screen capture of one of the mods over there who basically alluded to the fact that it served him right for, you know, to talk whatever he did against MD. I don't remember him saying.
He didn't do anything against MD.
I don't remember him saying.
He just lost his contract.
I don't remember.
I talked to John Tooman about Michael Liberatore because I'm friends with him. Uh-huh. And I said, what do you think Mike needs to do? I didn't question how they placed him because I wanted to know what his assessment was since he was the head judge. And he said that he feels that Mike needs to put on more size.
Really?
He feels that he needs to be 10 pounds bigger in his chest and his back area. He thinks his arms are completely dominating. Obviously, he's got great legs and his glutes were striated. He said, I just want to see him bigger. Now, taking that compliment into, I mean, taking that constructive criticism into account, I still didn't think he belonged in 14th. Matter of fact, when I said to Dennis James, I think he should have been top eight, he said to me, he goes, you're crazy. He should have been top five. So I didn't want to go that far because he was my client, but, you know, Mike took it well. He had about three photo shoots the next day. He probably was the most photoshot guy because he's a new guy on the block and, you know, no one had pictures of him. So I think he's going to come out of this ahead just fine. And I think that, you know, from what he told me right now, we're going to talk about it a little little more. I think he wants to do the Sacramento show at the end of the year, give him some time to put some sides on. His problem is he can't eat in the offseason.
Yeah. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but do you think the judges really care, you know, who's in 14th and who's in 16th and who's in 13th place? It just doesn't seem like it, because Johnny Jackson showed up looking like this was a guest posing.
Yeah,
you know, he was completely out of shape.
Liberatore,
and he beats Liberatore, exactly. So I mean, how can you possibly justify that?
They might just, I always said it myself, after the top like five or six, they kind of just throw everyone else in there. And you know, the call outs were not in depth enough to really assess those last 10 guys and put them in the right placing. So, you know, for this show, the top three qualify for the Olympian. I think the top five is probably the only ones they really assess that well. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, Mike has another day ahead of him. This was his pro debut. Ronnie Coleman placed, like, what, like 18th at his first Olympia? So
19th.
Yeah, something like that. So I wouldn't worry about it. Mike will be back. Congratulations to Melvin. He did a great job. Yeah. Hide should be commended, too, because he looked phenomenal. And Tony is a testament to the fact that you can come in at 90% and still place top three at any pro show. I mean,
at 40, what? How many? Two?
He's
3 years 40, old?
44.
That's absolutely amazing.
Actually, the funniest part of the whole day was when Melvin leaned that over in the audience and pointed at Sean Ray and said, not bad for a 40-year-old guy. Because I guess Sean was counting him out, you know, in his predictions because of his age.
Sean Ray seemed to have been catching a lot of flack for his antics over the weekend.
Yeah, he was trying to bust our balls a little bit too, indirectly. Not to my face, of course, but he was trying to get me in trouble all weekend.
He's amassing quite a good hate club.
Well, that's, you know, Sean is Sean. Let's move on to the men's 202, where Rock Shabazz, who we will have on the show a little later today, dominates this lineup. It wasn't even close. It was like the Rock Shabazz show. He wins the 202, qualifies for the Olympia, as does second place finisher Ahmed Ahmad and Bola Ojeks, who I had mentioned. Remember I told you this guy is pretty good? He's still got some work to do, but you know, these guys are going to the Olympia in that 202 class.
Is Bola Ojeks, is he the Kai Green little brother lookalike?
No. That guy's really good. But yeah. Now this guy's another guy. I think he's probably, him and Vic Richards are the only Nigerian pros.
Okay,
anyway, but yeah, so those guys will be going to the Olympia, and we'll have Rock on obviously a little later. Let's go on to the women's bodybuilding. Yaxani Oroquin comes through, John. She shows up not at her best. I think in 2 weeks at the Olympia she'll be her best, but she was very close to her best. Dominated that lineup and easily, unanimously won. Betty Pariso was second, who looked also phenomenal. I mean, this woman she's ageless. Like I said, yeah. You know, we had Ed on the show. We talked about Betty. She brought a great package. And you know what the funny thing is? If Yaxani wasn't here, Betty easily would have won. So, and third place was exactly who we predicted. Zoa Lindsay making her pro debut after winning the North American Championships in 2009. And she's going to be a new force to be reckoned with. It's nice to have a new face. She's tall. She's got great legs. She's got a tiny waist. Her conditioning was perfect. She needs a little bit more size on her back, and she's going to be standing up there with these top five Olympia girls.
Yeah, she definitely looked good up there.
And these three girls qualify for the Olympia. We'll see Yaxani, Zoa, and Betty next week, in 2 weeks at the Arnold Classic. Fourth place was Jeannie Paparoni and Dina Westerfield, who's a species athlete, a good friend of mine, places fifth. So that was a nice women's lineup. It was actually very competitive, believe it or not. There was only 13 girls, but the top five, six, seven girls were very competitive, and I'm happy to see that women's bodybuilding is enjoying some good accolades from not only the press but some support from these promoters as well, because a lot of these promoters don't put women's bodybuilding in the show. So Stryker should be commended for that.
You know, I have to say, I you cannot pass number five, Dr. Dina Westerfield, without giving her mad props, because she looked so good. I mean, and talk about improving. I mean, everywhere. She looked amazing. And I just want to, you know, let her know the effort paid off. You looked fantastic, and people noticed.
I liked her new hairdo, too, I told her.
Everything.
Fitness which and figure will be covered by our Muscle Girls Inc. show tomorrow with Adela and Jenny Lynn. They will have the two winners on. In the fitness, Julie Palmer wins, and Tanji Johnson second, Camila Rodriguez, who we shot, Dan Ray shot her, yep, in the gym. She's third, so those three girls are going to the Olympia. And then they'll also have Mindy Smith on, who won the figure, her first figure show. This girl's amazing, John.
She looked great.
She won one pro qualifier, I mean one amateur qualifier. Okay, her first show she ever did. Then she did the Nationals. She won the overall at the Nationals. And then she does her first pro qualifier the first of the year and wins that and beats some good competition at the Amy O'Neill, who's second, and Felicia Romero, who was the favorite going into that show, places third. Those three girls have qualified for the Olympia. Mindy is on a winning streak from hell. She might be the only undefeated person on the entire physique circuit because she's never lost a competition.
Wow. She looks phenomenal, too. She's got a great, great look from head to toe. You can't... One of those people that sticks out of the lineup, so...
I'd say so.
She's incredible.
Well, that the Phoenix show was a great show. I don't want to beat this thing to death. If you guys want more in-depth analysis with video, and I'm still putting up all the winners' interviews as well, go to rxmuscle.com. Right on the front video page, John, I have the wrap-up that Sean Andrews and I did with some video of all the guys and women that we're talking about. I think it's really in-depth, and like I said, I don't want to beat this to death because I got some other funny stories. A lot of people, you know, it's funny, a lot of people like the non-bodybuilding related stories that we talk about more so than the bodybuilding stories. It's kind of funny, and I got some good feedback from, remember I was telling my dad stories, I took him to the Outback. Well, I got another funny dad story. You'll probably get a kick out of this. My father calls me on the phone the other day, and he says to me that we were talking about a number of different things. He's telling about his friend Ted. His friend Ted looks like Albert Einstein. Okay, and his friend Ted plays chess. And I used to always play chess with his friend Ted. And you know, we get along really well. And he tells these corny jokes, and I always laugh at him. So Ted thinks I'm the greatest guy. So my father calls Ted up, and this is funny. He calls him up, and he's trying to ask him for some advice or something like that. So his friend tells him, "Sal, call me back later. I'm wrecked." That Ted likes to, you know, Ted smokes a lot of pot, okay? So my father then goes to tell, says to me, you know, he goes, "I don't know if you know what that means. That means he's stoned and on pot. And that's why he wanted me to call him back." I said, "Dad, I got it." my father's explaining these things, like as if I don't know anything about drugs. And or
Ted is like 90, too.
No, my father's like 80 and Ted's like 70. But the funny thing is that, like, my father thinks that, like, I don't know these things, like, you know, they're like, I'm like 18 years old and he's educating me. Yeah. His new thing, though, my father's new thing is that you know, I think I've told these stories before. Growing up, whenever I had to go to I was in a soccer league, like a traveling soccer league, and they would play in different places around Long Island, you know, Brentwood and Islip and you know, Farmingdale. And, you know, my father hated driving, okay? Right. That was like a pet peeve of his. So he always made me believe that if we didn't go to Eisenhower Park, which was like 5 minutes from my house to play soccer there, we were going like to California, you know? So like to drive to, like, you know, Farmingdale was like a big adventure for him. So I thought places were like so far away that, and then you know, when I started driving, I realized that these places were like 10-15 minutes. So my father's got this wedding I was telling you about in July with this woman, the one he's afraid his teeth are going to fall out during the wedding. Yes. Okay, so he had this argument with the woman on the phone, their first argument. They've been talking for 8 months and they've never met, okay? Uh-huh. And she's trying to explain to him that from Rye, New York, which is in Westchester, it's only about 90 miles out to Islip, which where the wedding is, which would mean from my father's house, it's probably 20 miles.
Right.
My father's convinced it was like 200 miles. So he's like, "You got that internet thing you do? Can you find out distances?" I said, "Yeah, Dad, something called MapQuest." He's like, "What? What?" You know, he doesn't understand. So I said, "What do you want the distance from?" So when I told him that it was only like 90 miles from Rye, New York to Islip, and that it was only 20 miles from his house to like Islip, he was flabbergasted. He you know, it's like waking up and finding that you're, you know, that you were blind your whole life, you know, that kind of thing, or that this wall that's purple in here was blue, you know. And you know, this is my dad. This is, you know, it's funny, as your parents get older, they become more nuts and they become more, you know, he's explaining to me about pot, you know, meanwhile I should be explaining to him about it, because do you notice your parents are regressing as they get older?
Yes, I do. But, you know, I have an opposite story about distances on Long Island, because when I was a kid growing up here, my best friend Larry Streb, his father worked for he was some big shot at the highway department, and they gave him one of those, you know, cop cars,
right,
unmarked.
Oh,
know,
really?
One of those souped up Fords, you know, that was like a, you know, cop car without the lights. and he drove that thing like he stole it. He drove like a maniac. Anytime we went anywhere, he drove like 90 miles an hour on the sidewalk. You know, he didn't, because he couldn't get pulled over because he had an official car.
Right.
So he could drive like an absolute lunatic and no one would do anything to him. So consequently, I thought everything was, you know, 2 minutes away because he was going 100 miles an hour everywhere we went. Right. And it wasn't until, you know, I got, now I'm back here and I'm thinking, God, Farmingdale's not that far from beforehand. I feel like driving forever here, you know, and everywhere I'm going now, I'm realizing it's a lot farther than I remember.
Well, you know, I drive like a lunatic too. That's probably why places seem closer, but going back to Phoenix for a minute. On the highways in Phoenix, every couple miles they have cameras.
Oh, really?
Over the overpasses. If they take a picture of you and you're going over the speed limit, if you're going 56 miles an hour, you get a ticket in the mail.
Oh.
Now, you know how like they have those on Long Island, but there's like three of them on all of Long Island.
You need a front license plate for that.
What?
You need a front license plate for that.
Oh, you do. So. Yeah. It doesn't take the back license.
No, it takes the front.
Oh, I would never get a ticket then. That's good because I don't have it. No, so this guy, John, who was driving us around, has been getting tickets like crazy because you got to know where these cameras are. So the stupid thing is that everyone knows where they are now. So what happens is as soon as they come close to where the camera's going to be, everyone jams their brakes on it. It's causing accidents everywhere. And then as soon as the thing goes, everyone speeds up. So people are rallying against getting rid of these cameras. I mean, this is like Big Brother. Wow. You can't do anything anymore.
You know, where my brother lives in Virginia, they have the traffic lights have the cameras. And if you enter that intersection, any time after the yellow light goes on, they take your picture and you get the ticket in the mail.
Right.
You know, so, one of the things the college kids are doing there is they're stealing front license plates.
No way.
From different people. They're putting them on their cars. They're wailing through these, you know, intersections, and the other person gets the ticket.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's not good. That's definitely not good. That, you know, Jeff sent me a very good news story last week. I want to give credit where credit's due. You know who Kevin Smith is? The guy who was Silent Bob, Jay and Silent Bob, and he directs a lot of the movies, Chasing Amy and all those.
No.
You don't know who Kevin Smith is?
I do not know who he is.
Can you believe this guy, Jeff?
Mallrats, Clerks, let's see, Dogma.
He's the guy with the beard and mustache. He's friends with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. He always has them in every movie.
People love them.
Is that what he sounds like?
No. I'm saying I know someone who sounds like that who likes Kevin Smith.
Oh. does Max know?
Yeah.
Max knows Kevin Smith. Yeah. How did you not know who Kevin Smith is?
I probably if I saw him, I probably
know. You don't know who Jay and Silent Bob is? You never saw one of those movies?
No, I never did.
Oh my God.
Anyway, sophomoric for my taste.
I'm sure every single one of our listeners out there knows who Kevin Smith is. They actually kicked him off an airplane.
Oh, that guy. We kicked him off the airplane.
Guy. You know the guy
I know the guy got kicked off the airplane for being too fat.
Yeah, he was too fat.
Yeah, I know who that is.
And you know what the funny thing is? He got kicked off Southwest Airlines, which are the biggest bunch of fucking lunatics. I won't fly that airline.
No, they're crazy.
I don't like that because they do general seating.
Yeah, they do. I call it festival seating.
First come, first serve. If you don't sign up the day before online, you get in the worst seats.
If you're in B or C, you don't get any group B or C.
Yeah.
That's the airline that all the flight attendants think they're comedians.
Yes, they make jokes. Right. Well, they kicked him off the plane because they said he was too fat. Can you freaking believe it? And they gave him $100 voucher as an apology, like he really gave a shit.
No, so he could go eat.
I guess. Even he said, he goes, you know, I know I'm fat, you know, but, you know, I'm not that fat. He goes, you know, they actually told him to get off the plane.
He's not that fat, is he?
Maybe he's gotten heavier lately.
You know, that article I wrote a couple years ago is lingering in the airline, you know, executive's mind, because that was preposterous what happened to me. And I mean, this is the first I've heard of this. But, you know, wasn't Southwest one of the airlines that mandated that you had to buy, if you didn't fit in one seat, you had to buy the second seat?
I think all the airlines did that, actually. Perfect.
And then didn't they have to repeal it because the do-gooders were rallying against it being unconstitutional?
I thought it's still out there.
No? I don't know.
Interesting. I wish they would really kick the real fat people off the plane. You know, I guarantee there was fatter people on planes than him.
Why do you think they singled him out?
I don't know. Maybe they wanted to make a whole. Maybe they figured if they used him and made an example out of him, since he was a star, you know, that they would that you know, people would start listening to this thing, buying two seats. I don't know.
Maybe it'll be in his next movie.
More relevant news stories wise to the bodybuilding community, they did a in-depth analysis, I guess using MRIs and stuff like that, on the King Tut. Did you see that?
I've been watching that. It's okay. I'm fascinated by it. They got his family tree. They found out Akhenaten is...
They said he died of malaria, they think, now.
Well, that one's on tonight.
Oh, it is? Well, yeah. This is what I read in the news story. They think he had osteoarthritis. They think he had osteoporosis. But one of the things they do know that he had, which I find interesting, was gynecomastia, they said he had.
Did he?
Yeah. He had gynecomastia.
At 18? He did a lot of cycling.
Yeah, I guess he must have been either doing that or smoking a lot of pot. I don't know.
He had impacted wisdom teeth, too.
Did he really?
Yeah. Tonight is going to be the one that talks more about him, why he died.
They said he had Marfan syndrome, too, which is what they think Abe Lincoln had, you know.
What was that?
Like an elongated face and limbs.
He had a long head.
How could he have so many diseases and not drop dead?
Well, he was a young kid who died.
There was a lot of inbreeding in those days. I mean, you know, children with their mothers and sisters and brothers having kids. They wanted to keep the bloodline, the royal bloodline in the family, and consequently, they had some interesting offspring. And they did a comparison of Tutankhamun's skull with Akhenaten's skull. Or however I'm mispronouncing that, who ended up being his father or his grandfather, and you could see they had the almost identical skulls. They even had the suture, you know, in the bone bone stitched together with this extra little piece of bone, exactly identical from father to son.
He actually had a cleft palate too. They said,
"Wow!"
But he had a lot of problems. Yeah, more interesting was the gynecomastia. If Dr. Blau was around back in those days, he probably could have helped him out.
Were his remains that well intact that they could see that he had gynecomastia?
Yeah, I guess so. They did. You know, I don't think they when they do these analysis on these mummies, I don't think that they unravel them. Do they?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they unravel and then they put them in an MRI machine or something like that.
The CAT scans, MRIs. What was interesting with Tutankhamun was whatever resin they anointed him with in the embalming process was so pervasive that they couldn't get a clean DNA sample from him. They had to take hundreds of samples to try to get clean DNA. Well, what happened is whatever material they were using from the bone, it had this dark color to it from the resin, and they couldn't get the DNA. And they had to use all kinds of incredible procedures, a lot of which were borrowed from the FBI to get these DNA samples to grow. And
the FBI finds dead people, and they
how they multiply the DNA with viruses and stuff like that. E. coli to multiply the DNA sample.
Well, yeah, to increase the amount of it, so they could actually analyze it.
Right,
and it's pretty fascinating stuff, you know, when you think about it. But personally, I wouldn't want to be playing with mummies. But the guy, according to the report, he was 19 years old when he died. The kid, so he was a young kid. Got picked on like crazy because of his gyno. You know, kids were pulling his nipples and shit like that when he was in school and stuff. And probably, you know,
he was a pharaoh. I don't think they were pulling his nipples in school.
You never know. Kids are
unless you wanted.
Kids are cruel. Maybe he was. We don't even know.
He had five sisters.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he was the youngest. He had five sisters.
Oh, maybe he was having sex with his
sister.
I thought that was Leon Brown.
His cleft palate.
No, Leon Brown is over here.
I'm still waiting for a call from Arnold. We were supposed to get an interview with Arnold.
I'm working on it. I told him you didn't want to talk to him. He's going to call very soon. Arnold's Classic in 2 weeks. I'm going to see him there.
You're going to be there, Leon,
I'll
right?
I'll be there.
Will you get a new jacket?
Walk around with Arnold.
Get the jacket every
he
year.
He does walk around with Arnold. I mean, you got to give it to Arnold.
Interview.
He does. You know what? Every year that I've been there, I have seen Leon Brown hanging out with Arnold.
Yeah, he is.
Talking, hanging out. They're talking. Arnold spends time with him.
Go find one.
He gives him another jacket every year.
I think that's...
He's always got the new Arnold jacket.
Yep, always has the new Arnold jacket.
Yeah,
he
got the new Western going on over there. I'm going to watch that.
I got my last news story today, I promise. Okay.
These are all good.
Yeah, these are good ones.
Did a good job.
Did you hear about this kid? This 27-year-old kid, James Swan, was living with his mother when he tried to choke her on Sunday night to death. The reason
he's a nice kid, looks like Scott Baio.
He tried to kill his mother because she was yelling at him because he was playing his video games too loud. Can you fucking believe it?
Yes.
What does your son do when you try to get him away from those video games? He's in the middle of playing. Well, just, you know, give me a good assessment of it.
I've learned that you got to pick your battles with this kid. He has a group of guys online, and he plays with a little headset on with the microphone, and he's online with he's talking to all these guys, and he is the king. He's like the leader of the pack. So I can't pull him away because this whole crew will disappear and fall apart. So I gotta warn him. He goes, you gotta tell me. You gotta tell me ahead of time. You can't just tell me. He just pull me away because guys are counting on me. I'm leading the crew. So I go, all right, in an hour, you have one more hour left. And then, you know, the hour will go by, and I'll count down. You know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I'm coming. You got to turn that off. We got stuff to do. And then he starts, five more minutes. So, you know, at one point, I just, after he got off, I waited. You know, I didn't want to embarrass him in front of everybody. I waited. I said, look, when I say 5 minutes, it's 5 minutes. I'm going to come in there and just shut the thing off. I'm going to unboot you, disconnect whatever wires I'm going to take with me. You're not going to be able to get back on for a week. And, you know, he tested me. I had to actually do it one time.
Oh, you did, huh?
You know, because kids do that.
Well, you're lucky that your son cooperated, because evidently James Swan was drinking while he was playing Warcraft.
My son doesn't drink.
And when the mother came into the room, he became enraged at her constant interruptions, as if you were doing for Max. He grabbed his mother by the hair and threw her on the bed.
Oh, my God.
Trying to choke her to death.
Oh, my God.
You freaking believe it?
Holy crap. There's
a bunch of lunatics out there.
There is, you know, Max is a big fan of YouTube, and there's a kid on YouTube that's famous now for his meltdowns.
Oh, I saw that.
The brother who torments him and films him.
Yeah.
He's tried to shove the remote up his butt, you know, and his mother canceled his Xbox contract.
Oh, and he went crazy.
He went absolutely crazy. And the brother had planted the camera.
The younger brother
had planted the camera, and this kid is going berserk in his room thinking he's alone, and he's taking his clothes off, and he's got the under the blanket, and he's screaming and flailing and throwing shit. And at one point, he puts his leg up on the bed and takes the remote and starts cramming it up his ass.
Why would he do that? What was the purpose of doing that?
He's out of his in a fuge. He's out of his mind. And the little brother posts this on YouTube.
Can you imagine the kids at school what they must have done when they saw that on YouTube?
He's got a web page with a skin, and one of the dominant photos on the skin is the brother trying to push the remote up his ass. This thing has like 30 million hits on YouTube.
You think it was staged? No.
Because he's subsequently shown other videos of this kid. The mother wanted him to vacuum, right? So he's got the vacuum, and he couldn't get the vacuum to work right. He didn't want to do it or whatever. That would have been funny, too. He ends up taking... These people are obviously well-to-do.
Like a colonic, right, Jeff?
Vacuum colonic. They live in a nice-looking house in a well-to-do area. I guess they're in Texas. He takes the vacuum cleaner over his head like the Who, bashing their guitar, breaking their instruments, and smashes the vacuum cleaner on the floor, busts into a million pieces.
Sure,
these are
not Derek Anthony, the home movies when he's a kid?
Derek Anthony could learn from this kid, I'm telling you.
maybe that should be the next guest in the Derek Anthony show.
You got to get this kid and get him on Derek's show. He's a Derek prodigy.
Yeah, especially if he's got his videos all over the place. Shouldn't be too hard to get in touch
popular
with.
Popular as hell, let me tell you.
Boy. Well, we have a great show, John. We have Greg Atoyan on. We have Rock Shabazz on. I call this the underdog show. These guys have come back from adversity. They both Rock wins the 202 class at the Phoenix this past weekend. Greg places fourth in that top five, his first top five placing in the IFBB. Both guys are great guys. They're family men. I can't wait to talk to them. When we come back from commercial break, we get started.
All right.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite,
improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of three creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy, it's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it.
RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with four great GAT products. Pre-workout Jet Fuse and OX. For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights. Post-workout Jet Mass. After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover. Premium protein, Muscle Teen. Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended-release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training. Shred and burn in your Jet Fuel Pyro. Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit IsatoriTech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
All right, I'd like to welcome our next guest back to the show. He just smoked the competition at this past weekend's Phoenix Pro Under 202 class. The man I'm talking about is Rock Shabazz. Welcome.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, we love having you on. I told John, I said, we got to get in a good excuse to get Rock back on the show because he was one of our best guests. And then here you go, winning the show this weekend.
I just like saying his name.
You like Rock or Shabazz?
The whole thing. Rock Shabazz. That has got to be one of the best bodybuilding names ever given.
You got to keep it cool, man. You got to keep it cool.
That's right. All right, Rock, the question of the day is, what made you decide to do this show the first of the year? Because evidently a lot of other 202 guys decided to skip it. You know, they didn't want to diet through Christmas or New Year's. What was the deciding factor here?
Well, for me, and like we were talking in the interview, Dave, we just put a plan together. Last year, I trained all year, but unfortunately, I love bodybuilding, but my clients come first, and I wasn't able to compete last year. So, you know, we did good with, we had a bikini girl turn pro. We had a female bodybuilder. You seen her, she reminds you probably of Vicky Gates, Lisa Allen. She got second in the Team Universe. And we had a fitness group that actually placed fourth. So we had some girls that did really good competing. And we had also had a figure girl, Shirley Hughes, that got seventh. So we had some girls that did really good. They had a good year. They hard. But I wasn't able. I can't do both. If I'm going to give 110% to them, I can't to my contest prep. So I trained, but I didn't compete. So I knew the first show, whether it was going to be the Ironman, Phoenix Pro, whatever first show was, I was in it. And I was just going to keep rocking until I got the perfect physique the way I wanted it for the Olympia.
Now, when you say we, okay, because a lot of people use that term we, what's your we in compass, essentially?
Well, we is my team. It always starts with my wife, you know, because, you know, with her, we do everything, you know, together. We pretty much plan everything that we do. So we don't waste any time. We don't waste any energy. And once I make up my mind I'm going to do it, it's going to get done, regardless, whatever it is. So that's my start of my week. My training partner, who I've been training with since the beginning of this, at Lee Haney's gym, Jonathan Rowe, he turned pro in 2005. We train together on occasions. I go to his place, and on occasions he comes to mine. And I always get the critical eye of Dexter Jackson. You know, I let him tear apart my physique. He likes this, you don't like that, you're too fat, your body fat's too high, you know, whatever the case may be. And I just take all the constructive criticism, put it together. You know, Shannon, even though he's not a bodybuilder, you know, Shannon Sharp, we argue back and forth on certain things. And we just put it all together. And then I come with the idea of what I need to do. And then we put it on the schedule and we go at it.
Well, you know, I've always told you more than once that with a name like Rock Shabazz, you have to come in at 110% because you just have to pay homage to that awesome name. But the lineup was not that stellar, and I know you brought it. You brought it 110%. Was the fact that that there was no David Henry or no Kevin English or no Flex Lewis there, were you disappointed that you didn't get to pull it out against these guys?
Well, you know, I'm going to keep it real. Bodybuilding, that's what we do. We look for the best competition. That's what we want to do. We want to compete against the best. You know, we want to be out there and have the opportunity, we call it go to battle. You know, fight pose for pose. You know, let the guy wear out and you keep posing. And that's what you want. And like I said, I've always paid much respect to, you know, Kevin. He's a very humble guy. One opportunity I got to talk to him. He's a real nice guy. He was newly invigorated in 2008 when I was at the Olympia with him, and he was, you know, he felt like, hey, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm, you know, this is going to be something I'm going to do. I'm going to get it next year, and that was refreshing. David Henry, I've been knowing Dave since, you know, the middleweight days when in 2001 I placed 8th and he placed 11th. 2002 I moved up to the light heavyweight, and his career took off. You know, we don't talk as much, but he's a great bodybuilder. He has by far one of the most complete packages there is of a guy that's, you know, 5'5 or under. But with that said, the difference in what a lot of people don't pay attention to is that, yes, all these guys are bodybuilders. They're full-time competitors. I'm a full-time bodybuilder, but I've been a part-time competitor since I came into the league. I turned pro in 2004. I spent all 2005 training my training partner and two young ladies who turned pro.
You're right. I haven't seen you. You don't compete a lot. You started competing more the last couple of years, I noticed, right?
Yeah, and that's, yeah, I've never had a sponsor. I've always, you know, sponsored myself. I've always done it for the love of bodybuilding. When I came in, you know, my mentors were people like Lee Haney. I mean, he had more money than you could wave a stick at, you know, to me, you know, when I came in. But, I mean, everybody else was just, you know, poor trying to make it, you know, just trying to in the gym and, you know, trying to get free food at the buffet and, you know, stuff like that. And I just got in where I fit in and just started, you know, doing the same thing. I held three. I had a college degree and I worked at a Texaco. I mean, I substitute taught school and I worked at the gym. Still trying to, you know, bodybuild. So I've always done it for the passion of it, not for the money. I like to make some money, but that's never happened. So I've had to be strategic on when I can compete and when I can't.
Well,
you know, I mean, I have kids, you know, I have a wife, you know, I have a business. So if I had the opportunity to be a full-time competitor along with the full-time training that I'm doing, not to knock anyone that's in the sport or any guy that's 200 pounds, I know what I can do in just a short period of time, but I don't think that they would have a chance. I just don't think that they could beat me if I was doing it at that level.
Well, my question was, were you disappointed that you didn't get to go up against guys like David Henry or Kevin English or Flex Lewis? You just destroyed who was there. There was no question that Rock Shabazz won that class. So, I mean, it was like the proverbial, you know, whacking of the fly with a cannon. actually it was like with an aircraft carrier with, when you were concerned here. So, I mean, were you disappointed that you didn't get to go against these guys, or was this kind of like a test vehicle for you to sort of battle test the wares and know what you're going to be bringing to the Olympia?
You know, I can only control, you know, me coming to the show. I would have loved for Kevin to be there. I would have loved for David. You know, David's in his backyard. I know if they had put a show on 2 hours away from my home, you better believe I'm there, you know.
These guys don't want to diet during the holidays. We talked about this, Rock. When I asked you that, you're like, it doesn't matter. I'm always dieting, so.
I mean, it doesn't. You know, when you... And you know, Dave, I mean, when you're in the bodybuilding, you eat sort of the same foods all the time.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, you're right.
And with me, that's what I do. I mean, I'm comfortable with that. My body responds to that. I mean, when I'm not competing, I can eat a whole lot more steak,
sure,
which I get a lot heavier, and I lift a lot heavier and a lot stronger. But outside of that, I just, you know, switch the types of protein, and everything else is pretty much the same. So to dieting through the Christmas and the holidays and what other people eat, it doesn't affect me. I mean, I've been bodybuilding for 18 years. I mean, I've been, you know, like I said, I turned pro in 2004. I've only competed, you know, those 3 years, 05, I mean, 06, 07, and 08. And you only see me those 3 years on stage, and out of those 3 years, we only had the 202 one of those years, and I've never placed out of the top five. So it's not that I don't think I can't do it. I just haven't had the opportunity.
Right. Well, you know, I think following up on what John said, which is very realistic, is the fact that you didn't get to compete against Kevin English. You didn't get to compete against Flex Lewis or David Henry. But you told me the other day when we were doing the interview after you won that you want to see these guys and you're not going to wait to the Olympia and you're going to keep going and you're going to hit. You said something like what, five or six more shows?
I was going to hit every show that was actually on the calendar. The only one I'm going to miss is actually show in May because my anniversary is in May. And that's the only show that I'll miss. But every show, you'll see me there. And, I mean, this is a promise.
All right.
This is not, you know, how people tell you, oh, I'm going to do this, and then they get that, and they back out. I'll send every contract in and wait, you know, to show. I don't wait for show. I'll send them in, hey, I'm there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do every single one of them, and I'll be better every show. I'll be better.
You're not worried about burning out or anything like that before the Olympia?
You never burn out. When you love something like this, and what we do, it's a little bit different. We're smaller guys.
Yeah.
So for us, when you get in shape, if you have the discipline of eating correctly, you know, you're not swelling up to 270, 260 pounds and doing all that stuff for nothing. I mean, you can stay healthy and you can do it. There's no such thing as burnout. I mean, if you just make it a daily routine.
So
when I walk around, people know I'm an athlete. They don't know that, you know, if I'm a running back, you know, playing for some team, or if I'm a bodybuilder, what I am, but they know I'm an athlete. They don't think anything outside of that. And it's good for me, but it also keeps me humble to the point that, you know I need to stay within parameters. Hey, I know what I need to do to be successful. So, like I said, I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a cliche or anything, but it's easy to me.
So what
I mean, I know what I have to do. I just do it. It's, you know, just do it.
So what you're saying is this year is for Rock Shabazz.
You know, I love my supportive clients. Yep, this year is mine. I have 43 last year that I worked with. This year is 27, and I just took the most serious 27. And some of the shows that I do, I'm gonna let them come along and do the amateur shows along with me. You know, but that's it. It's gonna be about me this year.
So when Dave interviewed you after the show, you mentioned that your sponsors were the professional athletes that you train. Give us a little taste of what famous people are under your guidance.
I go a little bit into, you know, each individual, they're different, you know, like how their off season is, what they do with their family, how they isolate themselves when the season starts, and that they're very particular about who knows their business, what they talk about, you know, and what you know about them. So the bond that I have with the different ones are, you know, it's different. It's different from, like, say, Rod Gardner. It's different from Nick Anderson. He's not in the league anymore, but, you know, he's in the Orlando area, you know, and he's with the NBA, still with the Orlando Magic. Then, you know, Al Harris, Dexter McLeon, you know, it goes on and on. Each one of them have their own individual needs. But the most important thing is, you know, they see how important bodybuilding is to the NFL, to football, because it's not something that's, it's not guesswork. It's day-to-day. And they build on that day-to-day. A lot of them get there with pure talent, athletic talent. But they can't sustain that type of ability without taking it and incorporating a bodybuilding type regimen. And that's what I teach them.
And you
that's
work,
what I work with them with.
You work with Shannon Sharp for many years. I mean, that's well known by now, but that must have been pretty cool.
Shannon is a great guy. He's a thinker. And I'm going to tell you, Shannon is a bodybuilder. He can give you the history of bodybuilding like no other. He loves bodybuilding. If he could make every Arnold, every Olympia, he would.
Yeah, no, you know? Yeah.
He's like the Triple H of football.
Yeah.
He loves it. Yeah, he loves it. And I'm going to tell you, and I said this before, when we went through a contest diet, we did an 8-week contest diet while I was training, and it was featured in another magazine.
Right.
And this guy followed it to a T, including the tryout process. And I watched him go, you know, through the whole process, just like we do.
Right.
And I mean, he didn't have no reason to do it. He didn't say, you know, Rock, I'm going to do it.
Was he shredded?
You know,
was he shredded?
He was shredded. And, I mean, he looked even better. He wanted to really be his old playing weight by the time we did the photo shoot.
Yeah.
So, you know, we dropped extra 3 pounds, which would flatten him out a little bit. But I saw him at about 7 pounds heavier than that when he was posing, and it was unreal. He had the runner legs because, you know,
sure,
running for so long. But if he had, you know, slowed the running down and put the sweep on, that guy would have been a tremendous bodybuilder.
Wow, that's a pretty big compliment coming from you. Let me talk. Let's change paces a little bit here, because you're a big family man. I mean, and you always credit your wife and your family to being instrumental in your success. Give us a little idea about how important they really are and what kind of a role they play.
You know, Dave, I, you know, you hear a lot of people saying, "Oh, you know, I'm their family man, or this and that." I don't want to like wear that badge or nothing like that. I don't want to be like, you know, trying to, you know, say that's what it's, you know, it's all about. It's a beautiful thing for me. I mean, my life is probably totally different than a lot of other people. You know, I can do, say, act the way I've been acting since I was in, you know, high school, you know, whatever, with my wife, because we started off friends. Well, my day starts, you know, pretty early. I mean, contest time starts at 3:30 in the morning.
Wow.
My wife gets up, you know, she gets up 10 minutes before me. She already downstairs, she brewing a cup of coffee, got the oatmeal going, egg whites, protein shakes loaded into the cooler and everything. By the time I get down, all that stuff is, you know, loaded up, ready to go in the car. We get everything, go to my building, open it up, get it going, get everything prepared. I got a big old dog, 120-pound muscle dog, his name is De Niro. So he watches my stuff. It's like Robert De Niro, man. He has a mole and everything. With
really?
That's why we named him. But he's my security at my place. You know, we let him out, and then we start the day. You know, I start my cardio. You know, I can't eat until I do my cardio. I do all that, and then even after we finish, she finishes her cardio, we stretch, then we hit the shower and get the day started, you know. So I start working with all my people. In between that, I have, after every two sessions, I have time to eat. So my clients know, you know, I'm on a schedule, they're on a schedule. They're very prompt, they're very particular on the days that they show up. They know what their role is, they know what they're supposed to do. And I like it that way. You know, when I opened my building, I didn't put any signs on it. I didn't put it in the strip mall. If you come to me, trust me, you have to have an invite. You have to know where I'm at because you wouldn't find me. You wouldn't find me. So she plays a huge role. My daughter, you probably saw her at the show. Yeah. She looks just like my wife. And, you know, she loves her dad. She's always...
You look like sisters. You
know, yeah, don't they? Yeah, they look like sisters. I know. Everybody says that. You know, but she, you know, she hangs out with me at the center, does cardio, you know, comes in and out. And anytime I need anything, she's always checking on me. And she gets a kick out of watching me compete, you know. You know, she just, she brags to all her friends because all her little girlfriends try to hit on me. So, right?
I wonder why. Yeah, look at the way you look, man.
You know, so it's crazy. But, you know, we have fun. I mean, we do... You know, because we love health and fitness, so it's pretty much our life. And we're always involved in some form or fashion of it. We try and get out more to the show, you know, the shows. Like, you'll see me at this show and that show, but the majority of the time in between it, I always want to make sure the girls are having fun. I mean, do y'all want to go eat, or do you want to go to a movie, or do you want to, you know, because they're always catering to me. So sometimes I'm like, okay, what do you guys want to do? No, what you want to do? So that's why I'm always saying, you know, I'm thankful for my wife, and I really appreciate it. I mean, Dave, you see what she looks like. I mean,
she's awesome. She's, yeah, you guys look like the perfect couple.
You wouldn't believe her age either. Nobody believes her age.
No, I don't even want to ask. I don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, don't get me in trouble. Everything's good. Don't get me in trouble.
It's important, John. You and I know how hard it is to find a good girl in a bodybuilding industry who understands the lifestyle, who is willing to cook the meals and sacrifice when you have to diet. So you guys have a good dynamic there. I mean, that's very hard to find.
And you know, I see that because, you know, going to a lot of shows and being around, you know, other pros and amateurs. I think that's going to be at my advantage a lot.
Without a doubt.
They're not going to be able to be as consistent and do what I need to do.
No, these guys break up with their girlfriend. They can't even compete. They have to scrap the show. You know, you got that support system, like Jimmy Johnson there, the race car driver. Right, right. You know, I mean, he's got like a pit crew waiting for him. You know,
it sounds like a page out of the Lee Haney playbook. Did you still have a relationship with Lee?
Lee comes to my place at least twice a week.
Wow.
Yeah, he comes out, and he has a couple of one-on-one clients that he trains. So, because like I told you, you have to really know where I'm at. I'm tucked away. He'll come out there, and, you know, he does, of course, you know, what I'll say, he can do whatever he wants to out there. But before I did the OA Olympia, he was critiquing me on my poses. And, you know, tell me, he was going to come out with Ronnie. You know, when Ronnie walked me out on stage in 2008, both of them were going to walk me out.
That would be some walkout. Oh, wow. 16 Mr. Yeah. Olympias between the two of them.
I know.
That would
have been cool, huh? So, but, you know, with Josh, and Josh was just finishing up at the Citadel. So, you know, I understood that, you know, he's with his son, so he couldn't make it, but... Everything else, but yeah, I see him all the time. He's already texting me congratulations on the win, and you know that feels good knowing that. I mean, when I first came here, to Atlanta, I'm still in Phoenix. When I first got there, you know, he welcomed me with open arms. You know, I never asked him for anything, but I just asked him to learn, asked him for a job, and he gave me the opportunity to be around some good bodybuilders. And that catapulted me to wanting to be the best, and I'm still working at it.
What do you know what Lee charges for a training session?
No, I don't get into his individual prices, but it's high.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm wondering what it costs to train with Lee Haney for an hour. You know?
Yeah, it's pretty high. I mean, he's still the man.
Yeah,
you know?
That's for sure.
He's the honorary mayor of Atlanta, isn't he?
I'm gonna tell you, he should be. I tell you when I can't really explain it, but he has this presence about him. Like when he walks in a room, it's kind of like he's the man. Like you know that this guy is something if you don't even know who he is.
Yeah, he has a charisma about him.
Yeah, he's just like, so, you know, most of the his clientele and even his support system, his nutritional support system, is geared around more of the, you know, the common person, the day-to-day, not so much of the bodybuilders, but, you know, he's still you know, tries to get involved with the bodybuilding a little bit. You know, I'm gonna, since I have a win now, I'm gonna talk noise to him, and I'm gonna make him get more back into bodybuilding.
You should. Yeah, that's, if anyone could do it, maybe you could remotivate him, right? The way he motivated you, the Virgil.
Oh, trust me. Oh, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him when I get back.
All right. So you skip in May in New York because you got the anniversary with your wife, but will we see in Pittsburgh? Didn't they have, I think they have a 202, right?
No, they dropped the 202.
Oh, they dropped
it. They had a bikini instead. You definitely would have saw me. Yeah. Listen, Dave, if it's on that schedule, you will see me there.
So what's
if
the next one? You know the next one.
The next one is in Orlando.
All right.
8 weeks.
So we were
doing my cardio this morning. And
I'm wow! And he was doing photo shoots with us yesterday. So that you know, Rock doesn't mess around, man. That's dedication. And you know what, Rock? We really respect you. We love having you on the show. You're a great guest, and we'll see you in 8 weeks in Orlando.
No problem, man. I really appreciate you guys having me. Much success to the radio show, and when you get the magazine up too, that's awesome. So just let me know if you need me to do anything. I'm there.
We definitely will, man. Thanks a lot. That's Rock Shabazz, our 202 champion in Phoenix, Arizona. Talk to you later, man.
Thank you.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the horde than to be destroyed by it.
RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with four great GAT products.
Pre-workout Jet Fuse and OX.
For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights.
Post-workout Jet Mass.
After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover.
Premium protein, Muscle Teen.
Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training.
Shred and burn under Jet Fuel Pyro.
Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier.
Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at teamgat.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit IsatoriTech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron
Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
This is Ed Cohen, world powerlifting champion, holder of 100 or more world records, and you are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
Right, our next guest just placed fourth in a super competitive open class at the IFBB Phoenix Pro this past Saturday. It's his first foray into the top five of the IFBB Pro ranks. I'd like to welcome Gregory Atoyan. Welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for that big introduction.
Yeah, it's nice when you got
at least up in on the ring or something.
Yeah, you know what? It's nice when you can get a great introduction with a lot of titles under your name. And I think you got to be thrilled that you just cracked the top five at your first pro show, huh?
Yes, I am actually very happy. It was pretty tough competition there. You know, stepping on stage next to Tony Freeman and Melvin Anthony, being compared to those guys, Troy Alves. I mean, you know, I've been looking after these guys when I was getting in ready for the, you know, small local shows here. Mm-hmm. But it's not my first pro show, though.
No,
it's first time I break in the top five.
It's a top five. Now, you know, we had you on the show, you know, about 6 months back when you turned pro at the USA Championships, when you got one of those pro cards. Yeah. And you immediately, right after that, you jumped into pro competition, like you just mentioned. But you didn't do as well as, you know, maybe you would have liked. And maybe people were doubting your abilities to be a good pro. What did you do this time around that you really think solidified your ability to come in better? Because you look significantly bigger. You were significantly harder. To me, you look like a pro at this particular competition.
Thanks for that compliment. What I did different, you know what? I can't really specify like one thing that I did different. I think one of the main things was I did the Sacramento Pro Show, and I took about 4 weeks off after that, and I immediately got back on a diet and started getting ready for Phoenix. And you know, even at the amateur days, I never like to take too long of a break, because I always feel like, you know, if I take more than 3-4 months off in between, I just get fatter, you know. So I think taking 4 weeks off and getting back in the diet, it helped me to, you know, kind of, you know, stay leaner, and my skin didn't get a steak. Mm-hmm. So second time around, I put just as much work I do in every show, and results basically came in better.
What was your competition weight from Sacramento to this time? Because you looked bigger, too, to me.
You know what? It was actually only 2 pounds bigger scale-wise, but I think I was better shaped.
You'd be harder.
Yeah, so let's say if I, you know, lost maybe an extra 2 pounds of fat and gained an extra 2 pounds of muscle, because scale-wise, I was 228 at the Sac, and I was 230. At the show,
you hit it. You nailed it on the head on this one. Whatever you did right. It had nothing to do with you buying a food scale, though, did it?
Well, I don't know, but I mean that's a big part of it. You know, I did buy the food scale.
I read an article that George Farah said that the reason why you weren't peaking yourself because you weren't weighing your food out.
Bro, let me tell you, because he came here, and you know I live in Sacramento, so he came over to my house, and he's looking around, and I own 2 Max Muscle Stores here in Sacramento, so I have a little kitchen in the back that I cook and prepare my food. Right. So he came to the store, and afterwards he was like pissed off. He's like, dude, you don't have a scale anywhere. What's wrong with you? I was like, okay. So we got in the car immediately. We drove to the store.
He actually took you to the store to buy the scale.
No, he was seriously mad, man. He was seriously pissed off. He's like, dude, you don't have a scale anywhere. Not at your house, not at your workplace. What's wrong with you?
You've been competing for 15 years. Don't you think you could eye the food by now? No?
That's what I've been doing, but who knows? You know what? It was better this time than last time.
Well, you know, when you get hungry,
do something with it.
Yeah, when you get hungry, sometimes the scale, your eye gets a little bigger than the scale would normally give you. So.
Exactly. That's true.
Well, it seemed to work. Anyway, there was a lot of talk going into this show. I don't know what you heard or, you know, what you paid attention to, but if you did, was it disheartening to hear people saying that you wouldn't make a good pro or that you wouldn't be a top-level guy?
You know what? I was actually talking to Dennis James this weekend, and he was mentioning in about, you know, people saying this and that. And let me tell you something, Dave. I don't like negativity. I don't like negative people. You know, some people, like a lot of times I hear competitors saying that they feed off of negativity. They want to hear negative things to get them motivated. I am actually opposite. I don't like negativity. It kind of catches me personally. I get pissed off. And to be honest with you, like if I hear something really bad, I'm ready to go rip somebody's head off. But then, on the other hand, you know what? I have good family, great support from my wife, and you know, I've been blessed with a lot of good friends. And since day one, since I was 165 pounds, and Bill Cambra looked at me and I said, "What do you think, Bill?" He's the guy who taught me how to pose and got me into the, you know, bodybuilding show. I said, do you think I should get bigger? Do you think this and that? And he was straight honest with me, and I take criticism from him. But all of my friends who've been around me, they always told me that I would make a great pro. Even when I got up to the national level first time, second time, I had friends always tell me, Greg, with your physique, you should have been a top 10 Olympia guy. Okay, so I fit off of that. That's my positive energy. That's what keeps me going, because I look at those guys, you know, my friends. There's some of them who, you know, competed in the bodybuilding, didn't make it as far. I kind of, you know, I feel like they're, you know, living their dream through me, and I want to do the best I can do and, you know, please these guys. And, I mean, I don't know, that's a great support for me, and that's what I feed off of. I want to go out there and show my friends that, you know, whatever you guys believe in me, you know, I'm going to bring it through. I'm going to, you know, step out there and bring the best. So that's my motivation.
How far do you, in your mind, see you going in this sport? How, what's your ultimate goal in terms of, like a level that you would achieve that you'd say, you know what, I reached a pinnacle, or I reached an accolade that I'm proud of, and that this is what I envisioned in my mind I would be able to achieve. Do you want to like win a pro show one day? Do you want to place top five at the Olympia? What's your goal?
You know what? I don't know if anybody's going to believe me, but the dream is always to be Mr. Olympia. So I'm going to shoot for the top spot, and whatever comes short of it, hey, I'll still take it. I'll still be happy and proud of what I've done. But the dream is always to be Mr. Olympia one day.
Oh, I can respect that.
And honest.
Yep.
What did you do other than buying the food scale? What did you change preparing for this particular competition from the last ones?
You know what? Actually, it's going to sound funny, but I didn't do as much cardio because George really hold me back on cardio. I'll be calling him up. George, I want to do double cardio. No. Don't do double cardio. George, I want a carb deplete. No. Don't carb deplete. Because there's things we did with George before the USA, and it worked great for me. And, you know, I called him up like 4 weeks out. I'm like, George, I want to do the same thing. He goes, no, you're different this time around. So you're not the same that you were at the USA. Things are different. Let's do it different, you know? So he kind of, I mean, you know, the bottom line is always chicken and rice, you know? But the portions and when do you deplete, when do you load, and how far do you deplete? Actually, this time around, he didn't completely deplete me. He just brought it down really low. And then we didn't, like, really carb up. We just carb back up a little bit. So, I mean, things were a little bit different than we did before the USA and before Sacramento show. So.
Greg, you do the best George Farah imitation. I gotta hand it to you. He sounds exactly like him when he imitates him.
Well, yeah. You know, Lebanese and Armenians are pretty close.
Yeah, no, I know, but you got his inflection sound perfectly. Yeah. There.
He's hard because he only has his ethnic accent, but he also has a Rachi, you know, upstate New York accent too. Yeah, so he's got like a double complication.
When I first came to the United States, everybody would be like, "Oh, where are you from?" And after living here for like, you know, 12, 13 years, people will be, "Oh, you're from New York." I'm like, "No, never been to New York."
So, you're better off.
Accent improved, but not all the way.
It's pretty good. What did the judges give you any advice? Did you ever consult them on what you should do or what, you know?
Yeah, I always try to talk to judges after the shows and see what they would advise me to do. And that was another reason I jumped straight into the pro shows, and I didn't wait too long after the Sacramento show, because after talking to a couple of judges, you know, I mean, in your head, you always want to be bigger is better, bigger is better, bigger is better. So you always want to put on the size. So after the Sacramento show, I talked to two judges, and both of them told me that your problem is not your size. You need to come in better conditioned. So, you know, of course, I want to be a little bit bigger, but one of the judges actually said, "Greg, if you keep pushing for more size," it was seen this happen a lot to other guys, they started ruining their physique. You know, he started losing symmetry. And so I said, you know what, if I don't really need a whole lot of size, maybe I should just stay on a diet so I can get better shape-wise versus, you know, taking, you know, a whole year off and trying to pack on more size. So that was one of the advices I took, and I said, you know what, I'll just take 4 weeks off and then get right back on the diet, you know, hopefully gain 2 or 3 pounds of muscle. And, you know, my problem was always, you know, come in in better condition. Right. Nobody ever said that, hey, Greg, you should take a couple years off and put some size on before you even think about a show. It's always like, you got plenty of size, come in better condition. So that's what I did.
Well, speaking about condition, I mean, you were striated pretty much everywhere. This was, you know, one of the best looks I've seen from you. But I got to ask you a controversial question, because a lot of people, you know, critique or speculate. You have some unusual looking lumps in the glute area. Now, they're equal on both sides. Is that just the shape of your glute muscles? Is that scar tissue? What do you attribute that to?
Well, you know what? Let's start with, you know, genetically, I've been blessed with big ass instead of a big back.
You know? Me too. I know all about it. Yeah.
And, you know, I was, since I was growing up, I was a soccer player. I played semi-pro back home. So I always had strong legs, always had a weaker upper body. And, you know, that's a lot of leg work, a lot of lunges, a lot of squats when you're practicing for, you know, soccer stuff. And then, you know, it's no secret to anybody, you know, things happen too. So, I mean, as far as scar tissue goes, yeah, I probably have a little bit of that. But mainly, I think it's just the shape of it. Mm. And another thing, I've been kind of lazy before and didn't like doing lunges at all. So now I kept pushing more lunges. So I'm hoping, you know, within the next 6 months or so, it's going to be improved a lot better. So we can actually see some striations in my glutes.
Cool. That's honest. I mean, you do have lines in your glutes. It's just, you know, there's just sometimes the shape miss. But it's shaped the same on both sides, which is kind of, that's why I asked you the question.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's a little bit of both, I guess, we can say. It's some genetics and some scar tissue. So.
Gotcha.
So I'm not going to say there's no scar tissue at all.
That's honest. You know? That's honest.
Haven't you ever heard of site injecting?
It's old scar tissue, John.
Old, that's right. But before the statute of limitations. Got it.
Yeah.
We're just joking around. So what's next for you, Greg? What are you going to do, another show this year? Your goal is you want to be Mr. Olympia, so the goal is to qualify. Do you plan on doing that this year?
Definitely. That's, you know, I mean, as you know, I'm no lazy guy anymore. I don't sit around. I want to, you know, get a good use out of my pro card. I don't want to, you know, just wait the whole year before doing another show. So I really wanted to get invited to Arnold Classic, but didn't get an invite. So we're going to skip that, obviously. And then, I don't know. I'm going to talk to George. I feel great. I feel healthy. So I might even shoot for Orlando.
Oh, that'd be great. That's 8 weeks, right?
7 weeks, yeah.
7 weeks, yeah.
Seven, eight, yeah, something like that. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't want to sit around, Dave. I don't like just wasting the time, you know. So, and as far as my health goes, you know, I'm feeling healthy right now. Everything's good. You know, my joints ache and hurt, but, you know, if you do weight training, that's what happens.
Exactly.
You got to deal with it. So as far as right now, I am really thinking about Orlando. If something doesn't work out, then maybe we'll skip it. But I would love to do it in Orlando and hopefully make the top three and then take the rest of the time off and then maybe come back and do the Dallas and do the Olympia.
Wow. That's some lofty goals. Yeah, so you're not afraid to compete then. You know what it is? When you're that big, John, he's kind of got the size he needs. When you're that big, it doesn't pay to take too much time off, because you almost look better if you stay lean and in shape. You know what I'm saying?
Keep competing. People keep seeing you. Keep talking about you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm hoping I'm going to get better and improve so I can actually get more fans to, you know, at least support my hard work.
Yeah, well, talking about fans, who are you sponsored by right now?
Nobody.
Okay, so you're looking for sponsorships. Anyone who's looking for a top five place in pro, Gregory is available. How did people get in touch with you?
I can, you know, like I said, I have two Max Muscle stores here in Sacramento area, and one of them actually, I just opened up a personal training studio. So phone numbers are 916-851-0708 or the other location would be 916-435-0327.
Do you have a website?
I'm working on it. It's in the works. Hopefully it'll be done with the next couple of weeks. So it'll be gregatoyan.com.
All right, you hear that.
It's not ready yet.
We got Greg Atoyan, fourth place at the Phoenix Pro Show. We'll look for him possibly in 8 weeks at the Orlando Super Show. Greg, congratulations on your great showing this weekend, and keep us updated.
Thank you. Thanks, Dave.
All right.
Okay, man.
Good.
Thank you.
John, you know, it's funny because, you know, a lot of people don't give much publicity to Gregory. You don't see him on a lot of talk show, radio shows. You don't necessarily see a lot of photo shoots in the magazines. But this is probably one of the hardest working bodybuilders in the business. And this is a guy who no one ever spoke about as having great genetics. No one ever spoke about as being a star. And you know what? He turned pro. He might have tried harder than almost anyone. It took him a long time to go from second place to that first place and get that pro card. And you know what? Then people said, oh, he wouldn't make a good pro. And look what he's doing. He just placed top five at a top level pro show with guys like Tony Freeman, Melvin Anthony, Troy Alves in that lineup. You know, he beat Troy, in fact. So you got to just, this just goes to show that hard work can sometimes overcome, you know, lack of publicity, which is what I call it.
Sure.
You know?
Hard work and persistence. Yeah. I mean, he just keeps coming back.
And he's not afraid to compete. You know, a lot of these bigger guys, it's like they get exhausted. They do one show and then they're done for the year.
That's right.
This is a guy who like you said, who might do the Orlando show, and then he said he wants to do Dallas again, you know?
Right.
So
he wants to be Mr. Olympia, so he's got to qualify.
You know, you sound like you're going to die over there,
yeah,
John.
I'm all right.
You've been sick for like, what, 4 weeks now?
No, I'm better now.
You're like Typhoid Mary.
I kicked it. I spent all week, you know, recovering.
You were manning the boards, right?
I was. Plus, you know, Max had the whole week off of school.
Ah, so he was running. Did you have you snowboarding all over the place?
Oh, my God. We did everything. We went go-karts. We went to the city for a day.
It just goes to show you that, you know, if you have a desire inside and you have a vision of what you could look like, you can make it happen. You know, you can't let these, as Derek Anthony would say, the haters detract from your goals or your ambition. Because if you start believing that, then you'll never achieve what you want.
You know, that's a really good point, Dave, because bodybuilding, you know, is a very insular, sort of isolated kind of sport. You do it with yourself. It's not a team sport. You know, it's very personal. And your own assessment in the mirror is really what makes this whole thing the challenge, because you're like a sculptor. You know, you've got this big block of marble in front of you, and you're going to hone it and refine it and create and sculpt the physique that you feel you can do by taking the best advantage of your genetics and your know-how and your fortitude in the gym. And a lot of people never compete. They create this, you know, amazing physique, and they only do it for themselves. To actually take what you've built and persistently bring it to in front of the judges and really bear yourself in front of them for their critique, hoping that your combination of genetics and hard work is what they're looking for. You know, that can be a very rejection bound pursuit, rejection prone pursuit. To be able to come back and not care, you know, what people say and what people think and what the haters are saying, and to just give it your all in the gym, diet hard, suffer, and then come back in there and expose yourself and, you know, put yourself up for the critique time and time and time again is really a testament to the, you know, the fortitude of the individual. And it's great to see that people can do that today and not really care what the judges
say. A lot of people do that, and that's why I call this the underdog show. You know, a lot of people might say, well, who's Rock Shabazz and Gregory Atoyan that you're having them on the show? But I call these guys the underdogs, because these are guys that have strong family values. They have a belief in themselves. They both have great businesses. Gregory with the Max Muscle Stores, Rock has his personal training business, and they're making money in the sport, and they're not that well known. And you know what? Now they're finally being
recognized
for their achievements, and I gotta love that always makes me feel good inside.
Yeah, but yeah.
Anyway, we're out of time. Let's thank our guests Gregory Atoyan and Rock Shabazz for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of rxmuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.